And now we're going to move on. This November, you have the chance to decide whether South Dakota should have nonpartisan elections. We dive into Constitutional Amendment V today. My guest in the studio here at the University of Sioux Falls is Joe Kirby. He's a registered Republican, fourth generation South Dakotan, retired businessman. Welcome to the studio, Joe Kirby.
Thank you for this opportunity, Lori.
So this is something that you have been working with politics and the forms of government for a couple decades. And some of what we see in Sioux Falls today is something that you have some history with. Give us a background there.
Well, I get frustrated from time to time with government when I see how it's operating and see a better way that it could operate. And the people that are in office usually aren't open to change. They like the status quo. So back in the mid-90s, I helped lead a group that took on City Hall, and we changed the form of city government and significantly improved it so it could provide leadership, the kind of leadership we've been seeing recently. And the most recent administration, Mayor Huther, has accomplished so much in office because of the form of government that we have.
Give me an idea of how I see that specifically in the Sioux Falls city government today.
Well, we provided a system that the mayor acted as the CEO. Before, we had five city commissioners, and they were all separate and apart. There was no one really in charge, so you had five fiefdoms that were there were a lot of territorial battles, and they couldn't agree on obvious things that should happen in the community. They'd bicker among themselves. So we went to a more efficient way of operating a business, which really our city is a business.
Now, give me an idea. Let's pivot and talk about Constitutional Amendment V and why it matters to you. What's broken that you think this addresses?
Well, I'm genuinely excited about the proposal because I think it could fix a number of problems that we see in our state. We're a one-party state. We've been very frugal for several administrations. I've been wondering where do new ideas come from when you have a state like that? We don't have great public discourse. We don't debate ideas because one party controls the agenda. I've seen an excessive focus, from my view, on social issues and not enough focus on operating the business of the state well. We've had a couple big financial scandals in recent years that just shouldn't happen if proper oversight is coming from state government. So I think we have a great chance to improve the quality of government we get from our state and, in the meantime, more importantly, a more fair system where the independents have a chance to vote. Right now, they're really disenfranchised with little chance to vote and to affect who's going to run the state.
Give me the basics of how it works.
Okay, so this would be an open primary where every registered voter gets to vote for every candidate for an office. Let's say there's five people running for governor of South Dakota. All the 500-some thousand registered voters in the state would get a chance to vote, and then the two candidates that get the most votes in the primary would move on to the general election in November.
So the first criticism that comes up, or the first question, depending on how you look at it, is I want to know what party this person is from. I want to know a little, I want that shorthand as a voter to know what they stand for. And some people are saying this is a lack of transparency here.
I don't really hear that criticism coming from anybody other than the people that want to keep the existing system for other reasons. I think, to me, the better argument is fairness. We don't have a fair system right now. We're not letting the independents vote. There's no justification for that. Transparency, I think any voter will know who the Republicans are, who the independents are, and who the Democrats are. The candidates will be advertising that themselves. The parties will be advertising it, and candidates will be saying it about each other.
So I keep hearing about states like Nebraska and California and how this works in other places. What's your knowledge of how it sort of plays out in a state like Nebraska or California?
Well, Nebraska's had it forever. I think 1934 they put this system in place, and we've had visitors from Nebraska come up and talk to various groups in town about how well it works down there. They like it. It produces more moderation in government, less partisanship. And that's what's happening in other states that have adopted it more recently. Washington and California have both seen a moderation in elected officials. The elected officials, in order to get elected, have to appeal to the entire public, not just the partisans on the side that nominated them.
How does it impact the party, the strength of the parties themselves within the state, do you think?
I have to think, and this is just speculation, I have to think it would weaken the parties a bit. But honestly, if we could reduce partisanship in Pierre and in Washington, D.C., I think that's a great thing. There's great unhappiness nationally and statewide with the direction politics have taken.
Are there benefits to having, you know, often we talk about the limitations of a supermajority. Are there any benefits to that? Do we get things done more quickly? Do we, you know, the majority of voters in the state, are they heard more often? Any benefits or just sort of the downside of what we normally consider in a supermajority?
I'm just a believer in the two-party system and that we get better government if we have a healthy public dialogue. And we lack that if we have a one-party system. I was watching South Dakota Public TV the other day. American Experience had a show about presidents, and they were talking about one of the worst things that can happen to a president on a re-election is to have a landslide victory. They invariably get too much power and make big mistakes like Watergate or the Iran-Contra affair or various others that have happened to presidents that get too much power. I just think we're better off with a healthy public dialogue and no one with too much power.
When you say that, I want to back up a little bit to a comment you made about scandals. And you wrote a piece for the Argus Leader, a My Voice column, talking about this issue. And you did mention wondering whether we would have had Gear Up and EB5 scandals in a more functional democracy. And I want you to expand on that because that's intriguing to me, and I'm not quite sure where you're going there.
Well, when the scandals occurred, I know many of my Democratic friends were complaining that they were aware of issues, but they couldn't be heard, that they thought the oversight was weak before the problems emerged. So I don't have any more than that I think if we have a legislature less focused on social issues, more focused on the business of state government, we'll have better state government.
What's not happening? What business of state government is not being addressed right now?
Those two examples I bring up, the financial scandals that seem to have resulted from a lack of oversight.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that you'd like to see sort of people have an awareness about for this amendment that we're overlooking in the conversation?
Well, the main argument I would make is fairness. It's time we empower our independents to be a part of the election process. Secondarily, we really have a breakdown in South Dakota. This is supposed to be an elected system where we elect legislators, but more than half of them get into office without any real competitive battle in the primary or in the general election, which leads to the quality issue I brought up, where we don't necessarily get the quality of elected officials and the moderation in the elected officials. And finally, just given the dissatisfaction nationally and locally with the political process, I think it's time we need to do something to reduce the tone of partisanship, and this would certainly do that.
This is a constitutional amendment, so once it passes, if it were to pass, it becomes something that can't really be easily changed by the state lawmakers when they're in office. Is that something that you think people will pause when they cast their ballot, that they're afraid of a significant change like that, or do you think it's a strength of the amendment?
Well, this is a fundamental change in the way we elect our officials to go to peer. Mm-hmm. And to Washington. So you can't do it outside of the Constitution. You have to amend the Constitution to get this done. So this wasn't something that could have been done by simply changing a few laws.
Does it interact with some of these other ballot questions on the 2016 ballot that we see? Are there other ballot questions that impact this one?
Well, as I look at the 10 issues that we're going to be voting on, which has got to be overwhelming to almost all of us, it looks to me like there are four of them that talk about elections and the process we use to elect people. The other one that I see, T, will change the redistricting from something the legislature does to a nonpartisan outside group, which I'm not here to talk about that today, but I like it.